I want to change what it means to live with this disease. Whether I'm pro or not, well, you know, it'll all fall into place. But I'm going to show everybody that you can be more than the challenges that you face.
Coming up on this special edition of the Endurance Hour podcast, Kona Week 2012, one-on-one with Angela DeRosso, a competitive age group triathlete, a MRSA survivor, entrepreneur, and motivational speaker. And we hear from eight, count them, eight, K-Swiss professional triathletes as we make that final push to the 2012 Ironman World Championship. The Endurance Hour podcast starts now.
We're gonna make this shit happen right here, right now. I'm gonna welcome y'all to house of who the hell he is. And it's cool that y'all can make it to my new meeting. So take your time, grab a table, we got booth seating. Now will now be introduce me to my new people. See, my name is Lawrence Moore.
And welcome back to the Endurance Hour podcast. As we approach the 2012 Ironman World Championship, which is this Saturday, October 13th, you can watch all the coverage with the live webcast by going to Ironman.com beginning at 6 a.m. Hawaii time. So just make the adjustment based on your time zone. And it's been an amazing week so far. I've seen a lot of great athletes walking along the Ali'i Drive, riding their bikes along the Queen K, and taking a dip in the Digme Beach area of Kailua Kona Bay as they make their way out to the coffee boat. In fact, there's a little bit of a surprise coming up here later in the program. Going to hear from Chrissy Wellington herself, who made the trip to the coffee boat on Wednesday for the very first time. We'll hear from Chrissy in an exclusive boatside interview. But coming up on this episode of the Endurance Hour podcast, my one-on-one interview with Angela DeRosso. She is a multimedia mogul, as I define her when we first met. We had a sit-down interview inside Lava Java along Ali'i Drive, one of my most favorite places to go to when I'm here in Kona. In fact, you can probably see me with my laptop open, me with headphones on, editing or logging away right there with probably a Lava Java mocha milkshake. I just can't get enough of those. Also coming up on the program, you'll hear from eight K-Swiss professional triathletes, three of which were on the podium last year here at the Ironman World Championship, namely Andreas Raelert. Obviously, he was second place last year, Miranda Carfrey, and Leanda Cave. Plus, we also have the likes of Jessica Jacobs, a multiple Ironman winner, Joe Gambles, Ironman winner as well, and multiple 70.3 winner. We also are going to hear from Luke McKenzie, Tim O'Donnell, and Paul Matthews. So all of them were part of a Q&A session just across the way from the Ironman Village around, I think it was around 2 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. So I have some initial interview sound bites from them also coming up. In the meantime, check out swimbikerunvideos.com. I've been posting some of my reports from throughout the week already. You can see on there the Parade of Nations as well as the Keiki Dip and Dash. I did these reports with my new co-host, I guess, for my Ironman coverage this week. Her name is Angie Green. As you heard in my previous podcast, she is the new age group correspondent for Ironman.com. She was also one of the commentators during the Ironman 70.3 World Championship in Vegas just last month in September. So she and I did some reports just a couple days ago, and you can see those videos right now on swimbikerunvideos.com. Hey, please like us and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The keyword is Endurance Hour. We've got hundreds of followers out there. We'd love to have some more. And please subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Smart Radio. It's very easy. It's free. It's one more way that you can take the Endurance Hour podcast with you on the go. But you're always welcome to listen to us on the swimbikerunvideos.com website as well. Before we get to our interview with Angela DeRosso, I just want to bring you up to speed on some of the podcasts we've already had this week here from Kona. This is our special edition of podcasts, Kona Week 2012. Just 2 days ago, in episode 43, my exclusive one-on-one interview with 82-year-old sister Madonna Booter. We were stuck at the Spokane International Airport, so we had a chance to chat there and kill some time while the Alaska Airlines computers were down. So there's a good 30-minute podcast with sister Madonna. And then the day after that, we had some great interviews and sound bites from Cameron Brown, the 10-time Ironman New Zealand champion. He was part of a New Zealand athlete's breakfast just a couple days ago. And then I also talked to him about some of his training schedules, his travels this year. He is 40 years old and his return to Kona, hoping to make up on some of his past performances. And he mentioned in episode 44 that his performance at Ironman Melbourne was his fastest Ironman to date. Very impressive for a man who now is 40 years old and back here in the Big Island to compete with all the great other athletes. Speaking of great other athletes, four-time Ironman world champion and undefeated Ironman triathlete Chrissy Wellington is back on the island this year. As many of you know, she took off the 2012 season to just lay low and not race whatsoever. She is 13 for 13 when it comes to starting an Ironman race. So a lot of pressure, in my opinion, on an athlete. So I hold nothing against her for taking the complete year off, but it is so good to see her back out here in Kona, even though she's not racing. She's very relaxed. She was partaking in the Parade of Nations as well. She was in one of the cars leading Great Britain. So it was neat to see her out there. And we also saw her at the floating coffee boat barge, I guess it's the espresso bar, out there in Kailua Kona Bay on Wednesday. So let's go ahead and hear from her right now. It's only about 2 minutes worth, but no one else was out there to capture this interview, so I'm going to call it exclusive. Then we'll move on to our main interview with Angela inside Lava Java. But here it is, Chrissy Wellington out there in Kailua Kona Bay at the coffee boat.
I've been telling everyone this year, they're like, what's it like to be here? And I'm like, you can see Kona through open eyes.
Absolutely.
Now, because, you know, when I'm ordinarily here, your eyes are half closed and they have to be so focused on the goal. And now I'm here this year, my eyes are wide open, my mouth is wide open, I'm eating everything that comes my way, drinking everything that's offered. It's all good.
Yeah, you actually get to enjoy race week instead of having that looming cloud of race day.
I mean, I actually enjoy race week anyway, but it's a different kind.
Right.
Like, it's a nervous excitement rather than now. It's you know, I'm nervous for my friends and obviously Tom that's racing, but you can experience the island in a different way and the pre-race kind of activities in a different way than if you're racing.
And you can just come hang out here at the coffee boat and kind of meet and greet with everybody.
Of course. Yeah.
Do you come out here every year, Chrissy?
Not to the coffee boat. You know,
but it's not your first time, is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Ordinarily, you know, I'm so focused on the race.
Yeah.
And you know, I just try and limit every activity that I can do to the absolute essentials. But now this year, it's all good. So I did the parade yesterday. I went up Mauna Kea the other day, which was amazing. I went outrigger canoeing.
Oh, so fun.
We didn't capsize. It was all good. So I went out with a friend on a two-man. He's trying to persuade me to do the Molokai crossing. I think I need a little bit more practice. But yeah, it's all good.
If you like to see the moving pictures part of that interview, we have the video posted right now on swimbikerunvideos.com. You'll see it there on the front page. All right, here it is, my special interview with Angela Durazzo inside Lava Java. I won't do too much setup because it's pretty much done there in the interview, but this is a gal that I've been following on Facebook and Twitter most of this year. Angela has an amazing story, which she'll tell you here in just a few moments. The interview lasts just over 21 minutes, but there is so much more to this interview and more to Angela than meets the eye. She's got a great backstory, and she lets people know a lot about the role of being a sponsored athlete. So she's got some great insight on that and what social media is all about and how you can utilize it to your best advantage and also share a message that maybe you don't know you have, but maybe you can find it. So sit back and enjoy my interview with Angela Durazzo. Aloha and welcome to Lava Java here in Kailua Kona. I am here with Angela Durazzo. This is a treat for me because I have yet to meet you until now, but I've been following you on Facebook, your website, Twitter. You are all over it. You are a multimedia mogul, as I called you in my last podcast. Is that a fair way of describing you?
That's very complimentary. Thank you. Yeah.
Now you have a recent type of media a company now. What is your company? AngelaDurazzo.com?
Angela Durazzo LLC. So I was branding and marketing myself, and then now I've started working with endurance athletes and endurance companies doing what I did for myself for them.
What do you do for yourself?
Just marketing and branding. I had a very aggressive marketing campaign this year, mostly on Facebook. I went from zero fans to 13,000 now, and just trying to get my story out and bring awareness and bring more to triathlon.
How do you go from zero to 13,000? I mean, can you give me a hint at how you can do that? Because people, they understand that social media is the thing of now and the thing of the future.
A very aggressive marketing. Consistent momentum.
Okay.
Always have consistent momentum. Always have pictures, always have interaction, and just be seen. You know, go to the events, go to the races, connect, network, talk to everybody in your demographic. And so that would be some of the tips.
What's the advantage of having so many people in your network? Just for people who are interested in why it's so important to have likes or fans.
Because there's a new part of being a sponsored athlete is not just being the best athlete, it's also bringing awareness to the company that you're, you know, that you have a relationship with. So, for instance, I have a relationship with Argonne, and I have rheumatoid arthritis, so I'm not in the top of my age group yet. But one of the advantages that I give to Argonne is constant exposure. I'm constantly doing videos, I'm constantly doing podcasts, I'm constantly on Facebook, on Twitter, interacting with everybody and making sure that the brand and myself is out there.
Now, there's a fine line about pushing the products or promoting too much, right? I mean, it's going to be subliminal in some
exactly.
in some respects.
A lot of it's about placement. Okay. You know, it's just a matter of what, because I'm on my bike all the time. I love riding. So I'm not out there saying, oh, Argonne's the best bike. You should buy an Argonne. I'm like, I love Argonne. To me, Argonne suits me and it's what I love. So it's just a matter of exposure and having it. You know, so when somebody wants to buy a bike, you know, they can go to Scott or anybody else they want. But for me, it's Argonne. And that's just what I like to have my name synonymous with.
What are some of the other sponsors that you have attached to your Angela Durazzo LLC?
We've got Argonne, I've got Oakley, Ignite Naturals, Kinetic Compression, a Beaker Concepts.
I know we don't want to leave anybody out. Now that I put you on the spot,
okay. The Project Athena Foundation, AeroWeld.
That's a lot to juggle. I mean, that in itself is a challenge, isn't it, to make sure that you satisfy all these different sponsors?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's more than just, what, throwing their banner or their logo on your website, right?
Yeah, no, I work with the companies. So I'm providing insights. When I do a post, I analyze everything so I can have the insights, the feedback, what questions were asked, you know, where they can get the product. So it's not just about, oh, you should get Ignite Naturals. It's also like a database of analytical information that I can give back to the company so they can see what is working for them and what's not working for them through, you know, my media platform.
Engagement is so important, I know, when it comes to social media, whether you're asking questions. And one thing that I think we kind of really started to spark a little bit social media-wise is contests. Tell me about your role with contests and how important that is.
Oh, I forgot my one of my favorite sponsors, Xterra Wetsuits.
Oh, yes.
So when I was first starting out and I started my fan page this year, I created it. I have a very close relationship with Xterra Wetsuits. They let me use a couple of their wetsuits in my promotion. So the first way that I started making my contest and making fans was I had an Xterra Wetsuit contest. So I put it on my social media. I put it in the groups that I belong to, everybody that I knew, and in San Diego, Breakaway Training, Sergio Borges X Training, and I just told everybody about it. And then I posted on Facebook and had people enter on Facebook. And then I gave them a free wetsuit. And that took off so well that from there, I just started negotiating with my sponsorships that I wanted to have a free merchandise that I could give, you know, so that I can do away. So every month I do a free giveaway. And I just started keeping the momentum with the free giveaway. And if, you know, because I get stuff and it's fun and I like it, but I also want to give somebody else stuff, because getting something, especially when you're a new triathlete and you're just starting out, it's an expensive sport. And so it's my way of helping somebody get started and to feel like they can participate and be a part of, you know, all of this.
What is the role of a sponsored athlete or an ambassador? Because I think people don't understand what it is. They may think, oh, I get free stuff, but there's more to it than that.
No, absolutely not. That's actually like the lowest part of the totem pole. For me, the way that I was able to start negotiating my sponsorships was before I even had any sponsorships, I had the companies that I like their products, you know, like Giro. I absolutely love Giro. I love their helmets. I love their shoes. I love everything about them. I like the quality of the product. I like the customer service and I like the company. So I just started using their stuff, and I had the photographs, and everybody asked me, do you like that helmet? Do you like those shoes? And I said, yeah, it works really well. I really like it. And I came out publicly supporting the company, and then I was approached by Giro and asked to be a sponsored athlete from them, you know, and then they're like, yeah, we'll give you whatever you want, which is fantastic, you know, but I believe that you need to invest in a company first and show them what your worth is in order for them to want to back you. You know, because you can be the number one athlete in the world, but if you're not out there, being the best person that you can be, the best version of yourself every day, a company's not going to be so inclined to have a relationship with you because you're a person representing them.
And you also have to have a platform of some kind, because I know athletes back in my hometown area who would like to be sponsored athletes, and they have great results, but it's not about results, and they have to have an audience. They have to have a community to share their story or share the products.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so you've done that with Facebook, with Twitter, with your website. Are there other areas that you've tapped into, or maybe some things that some social media outlets that are on the rise that you want to share or know about?
Yeah, absolutely. We now have MyList, which just partnered with Ironman, which is a really, really awesome, awesome website that you can get involved with. Pinterest is a good forum. LinkedIn is a good forum. Anything that you can Google social media, you know, as long as you keep momentum and keep having everything out there. On my website, I have my own, I have two blogs. I have a triathlete racing with rheumatoid arthritis blog, and then I have a beauty tips for athletes blog, and then I link to Facebook and Twitter. So Twitter is my secondary, Facebook is my main platform that I use.
And you can see the insights, the analytics on those, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then, I work with Travel Eat as well. And Travel Eat is doing a Kona contest. And then I put it through my website to post a link. And then I can keep track of how many people click a link on. And it was pretty cool because in 2 days after posting it, 84 people had went to the Travel Eat website from my website. So it's a way to show people that I'm working with, this is how you can keep track of what my name is bringing to you.
How surprised or impressed or flattered are you to go from zero fans on Facebook to well over 13,000? That's impressive.
Thank you. Yeah, it was really, I was really surprised by it. It was really cool. You know, and for me, the biggest thing now is I wanted to go and I wanted to race on the pro circuit and, you know, race very aggressive competitively. And then I got diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis this year and I had to drop out of my season. And hopefully next season it'll be a lot better, but I'm on very light training now. And so I was really surprised that I had continual growth because I wasn't racing and I just started a blog to expressing myself. And I think the biggest influx came when I was diagnosed and everything had and I'd fallen out, because I started a blog about being honest about what was going on with me as an athlete, my challenges, the good, the bad, and the real perspective of it. And then right now, I think it's still keeping momentum because I'm doing an awareness for rheumatoid arthritis. There's one more triathlete that I've met that actually has it. And so that's my new platform to bring awareness. So now my racing's changed from wanting to be a pro athlete, which I mean, I would love to be, but to help everybody else that has RA that can no longer do what they can do. I hope to help them, you know, so when I'm on the bike and I'm suffering, I want to help them, you know, get to the pool to aqua jog or to do whatever they can do, because RA makes you feel like you're defeated, like you can't do anything else anymore.
I know a little bit about your backstory after, you know, connecting with you on social media, and you had really, and this is no joke, a near-death experience, and it really changed your life completely, because you were coming off of a successful and growing modeling career, and then I know it's out there already, but for the listeners who are listening to this, what a little bit of the backstory on what happened before and after, and now you have the RA.
Well, I had started modeling at 18. My mom and I had started our own company, and I did very, very well with it the first 2 years. I ended up doing Cosmo, Teen, Vogue, you know, flying around the world, and it was fantastic. I loved it. And then at the height of my career, I found a mass in my breast, and I had a couple doctors talk to me and tell me that I should have it removed because it was suspected to mutate into cancer. So I went in for a lumpectomy, had the lumpectomy, and in the process of getting that done, I contracted MRSA. And MRSA is an antibiotic-resistant staph infection, and it's more aggressive. To give you an idea, it's more aggressive than something like AIDS in that it will kill you. It'll kill you in a matter of 72 hours. So it got to me in 3 days. I collapsed when I was on a modeling gig. I was in ICU. I ended up being in ICU for over a month. I almost died. And it's flesh eating as well. So I ended up losing about that much of the breast, or that much of the breast. And then after I got out of the hospital, I had to be on at home rest, and it actually had eaten so much that I had to be packed like a gunshot wound. And in doing that, it severely damaged my immune system. So for the next couple of years afterwards, you know, I couldn't go 2 months without being in the emergency room. If somebody got a cold, I got the flu and all that stuff. So it took a good 3 years to recover from that, which had initially damaged the immune system, which I think was the predecessor to some of the RA development. And so that's what had happened. And then when all that had happened, I was at the height of my career, and then obviously I couldn't work for several months, and I went to go back, but because I have a scar, I got dropped from my biggest campaign, which is a bridal runway campaign. And so then I decided to go back to school, and I went for pre-law. And decided that modeling was going to pack that up.
Modeling, pre-law, now a media company, and triathlete. Are you here in Kona on business, or is it pleasure, a combination of both?
I'm scouting new athletes for some companies that I'm working for. So we're going to be assembling the 2013 sponsorships. And so I'm here scouting new athletes, seeing all my friends, networking. And I'm always working, always doing little projects and stuff. And just enjoying the atmosphere. This is my first time at Kona. And it's amazing. So
now, when you say scouting, I think as an athlete growing up, I think of baseball, football, basketball, where you have a scout in the stands watching from a distance. How do you scout a triathlete? Do you talk to them? Are you just watching from a distance?
No, I go out and talk to everybody. Okay. Because there's three key things to doing to being an athlete ambassador for any company. Okay. You want to be the best athlete that you can possibly be. You want to have a good social media platform, and above everything else, a good person. You know, have good energy, just have fun, don't be too uptight, just enjoy yourself and love what you do, and try and have a positive message, you know, that you can convey to others. So that's what I look for. So yes, athletics are important, you know, obviously, but if they're racing in Kona, that's kind of what, you know, self-stated. So for me, when I'm looking for athletes, I like to talk to them, get a feel for their energy, see how they are, and then I talk to them, get their backstory. What nutrition do you use? What do you like about it? What do you have problems with? What companies have you had good relationships with, and what are you looking for? You know, what do you think could take you to the next level, and what can you offer to anybody? And why are you doing it? Why do you do this? You know, because the people that just want free stuff are not the athletes that you want in your company. You know,
you can kind of weed them out pretty quickly, right?
Yeah, within a matter of 2 minutes. Yeah. You know, I mean, because if you, you know, a company is not a company because they give free stuff away. If you want free stuff, you can go and buy your own stuff. Don't insult the company, yeah. You know, and that's the number one rule for athletes. Do not go and ask for free stuff, because that just makes a sour taste in your mouth. So
how are you enjoying the island?
I absolutely love it. I just went for a ride, and I absolutely love it. I actually have my GoPro on top of my camera, or on top of my helmet, to go and make my own little videos. So yeah, I love it. There's nothing like riding on the Queen K. It's my favorite place to ride in the entire world.
How far out do you go, and what are the conditions like? I've never ridden it.
Oh, why not?
I come here to cover the race. I don't come here to. I would like to, but this is a brutal course. I'm not sure if I'd want to take
it on
the
course.
No.
Yeah, you can. No, I go out to the cemetery, which is usually. I'm usually out on the Queen K for about 2 hours. You know, that's my regular ride time.
Is it 2 hours and then turn around, or 2 hours total?
2 hours total. Yeah, about 2 hours total. So an hour out and an hour back. And yesterday it was actually reversed, because as we were going out, we had the wind resistance, which we normally have on the way back. So on the way out, I was getting passed, and it was embarrassing. But then on the way back, I was super fast and passing some people on my own. So Yeah, so it's amazing. And then we did the Pure Swim this morning, which was about half of the Ironman course is what we did, and came back. And this is my first time actually swimming in the ocean in Hawaii. And as I was swimming, it was amazing because I'm seeing these, you know, fish that look like Nemo under me as I'm swimming. And so it was absolutely amazing. I loved it. And so we're going to be going swimming again tomorrow, and I'll be riding every day that I'm here. So
you are hearing some background noise. A blender is making someone a very tasty, probably a lava java shake, which I have one of these too, these mochas, which are very delicious, about $7, so kind of spendy, but when you're in Hawaii, you gotta live it up a little bit. Being here in Hawaii, are you ever starstruck? I mean, you're a face. You're someone that people would come up and say, "Oh, I recognize you," or "Oh, you're so lovely, you're so beautiful," and they may ask for autographs, I would assume. How about you? Do you get starstruck at some of the athletes that are riding around at Li'i Drive or on the Queen K? I'm sure you recognize some of them.
I do. I've talked to Heather Jackson a little bit on the internet and stuff like that, and I follow her and Wadi, and I met her for the first time in person actually yesterday, and meeting her I was a little taken back because I think she's fantastic. She's an amazing athlete, she's an amazing woman, and she's got such a fantastic energy. So before we actually talked and I met her, Sergio and I was riding and she was running, and a lot of the athletes in Kona are very serious, like it's crazy, you know, and that's important, but it is also a race, and you shouldn't, you know, lose your mind over it. So as we were riding, I wave and I say hi to athletes, and 90% of them won't say anything back. But I was waving, and then Heather had, you know, waved back to us. And so, and then when I actually got to talk and meet her later, I was a little taken from her because she's just awesome. You know, like she's just a prime example of awesome. So, and then I, you know, the first time I saw Chrissy Wellington, I was like, that's awesome. That's really cool. So I just seeing everybody around, but I think that's about it. Those two.
Yeah, Chrissy made it out to the coffee boat for the first time ever. Some of the people that I know, I did a story with today, they went out to the coffee boat and she was the first person they saw, which is, I guess it makes sense because whenever she's here on the island, she's racing and she's very serious and this is their livelihood, but there she was at the coffee boat, the Chrissy Wellington. Any predictions, any picks on the men and women's side?
Oh, absolutely. I think Caroline Steffen is going to take first. And then I think for the men's race, we're going to see some of the newer faces dominating the course.
Dominating, that's a strong word. Like who are you thinking?
Well, I have the athlete that I want to take first, Joseph Major. Okay. He's a newcomer. He's one of Sergio's athletes, and he's fantastic. I really adore him. He's from Hungary, and he's absolutely wonderful. And he's actually in points. He's eighth, I believe. So I don't know if he's gonna, you know, depending on how his swim and stuff is, but I'd like to see him place well, and just, you know, the usuals. But yeah, it'd be nice to see Crowley and Maka and everybody like that. So.
Well, what else? Gosh, we're just hanging out here in Lava Java. I finished my drink. What are you drinking right now?
Oh, this is amazing. This is a ginger drink, and this is wonderful. Ginger reduces inflammation. So when I'm riding, my body starts to get a little inflamed, and then every day I come to Lava after, and I jug these down. It's wonderful.
So you're saying my Lava Java mocha is probably not the best post-bike ride drink?
I mean, I imagine it's probably really good, but the ginger, like, cleans you out, so it's really nice. Because you get cortisol levels higher when you start, you know, wearing your body down. So, and this just sets them at bay.
Tell me about your aspirations of becoming pro. And that's a serious goal of yours?
Yeah, I would absolutely love to. I would love to race on the pro circuit. Mm-hmm. I think that's definitely 4, 5, 6 years away. You know, now this year I've had to learn how to train again, because I my body doesn't work how it used to work. My muscles are different. My whole operating system is completely different. So I just started injections, and I'm on my 6th injection, which suppressed my immune system to control the RA. And having a suppressed immune system, my muscles don't recover like a normal athlete's muscles. So I'm having to learn a new, like, training formula, and I hope to dominate the top of my age group next year and the year after, and then kind of set myself up to go to the next level.
I usually hear people, athletes, being very humble. Not that you're being being arrogant or anything, but I love to hear that enthusiasm. I want to dominate my age group.
Yeah, I absolutely want to. I absolutely want to. And there's no reason why I can't. You know, I have a new challenge, and I want to show to everybody. Just because we have something that's a setback, and it takes you in a different direction that you want to go. You know, when I was diagnosed, it can either make you or break you. And this has been a driving force to prove to myself that I can go even further than I thought I was going to go before. So, you know, I just want to, you know, the disease came to live with me. You know, I'm not living with it. So
yeah, you didn't invite it. So if you're going to be here, you might as well live under my rules.
Yeah. And then one of the reasons, you know, that I do the things that I do is I have really high goals for myself. I'm highly ambitious. A lot of people tell me that I might be a little too ambitious and my goals are maybe not more realistic for them, but I don't see that for me. If you don't dream big and go after everything you can possibly go for, what's the point?
The more goals you set, the more opportunity you can to more opportunity you have to accomplish those goals. You set 5 goals, you might reach a few of them. If you reach you set 10 of them, hey, maybe you'll get 7 of them. That's more than the 5.
Yeah, well, dream big or go home. I mean, that's just the way that you do it. So, you know, whether it happens or not, it's a different story. But you know what? A lot of life is just the journey. It doesn't necessarily mean meeting that goal. But I want to change what it means to live with this disease. Whether I'm pro or not, well, you know, it'll all fall into place. But I'm going to show everybody that you can be more than the challenges that you face.
Well, you've been very gracious on social media for me by, you know, sharing and posting some of my contest things. So thank you very much, and wonderful to meet you. And for the audience here on the Endurance Hour podcast, AngelaDurazo.com, and then her, of course, her company, Angela Durazo LLC. It's getting tongue-tied here.
I know. I can't. If you have an idea for a name, I couldn't come up with a name. So when I was entering my business stuff and getting my EIN number and all that, I just put my name until I could figure out something more creative. So, yeah.
All right. Angela, thanks very much.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure being on.
Again, thank you to Angela for taking the time to meet me at Lava Java and sit down for more than 20 minutes to talk, just talking the breeze and having a good time. So great to meet you in person, Angela, and I'm sure we'll talk again in the near future. Let's go ahead and move on to our Q&A session with the professional triathletes representing K-Swiss, beginning with Andreas Rehlert from Germany. Now, Andreas only knows the podium when it comes to Kona. In 2009, during his debut, he finished third. Then he was second in 2010, and he was third last year. So I need to make a correction there. I said he was second last year. He was actually third last year. It was Crowe last year, followed by Pete Jacobs, and then Andreas Rehlert. For 2012, Andreas has the added bonus of having his brother Michael on the start line here in Kona, so that'll be nice for him. Earlier this year, Andreas finished fourth at the Ironman European Championship in Frankfurt after a nasty crash. So what's his preparation been like this year, and what are his hopes in Kona? Here's Andreas.
I had some issues at the beginning of the year, but right now I'm feeling 100%. I mean, there are so many good athletes out there with the same expectations and with the same hope, with the same dreams. Since I came here in 2009, I'm really excited, and fortunately, Crowe won last year. I think he was 38, almost 39. He's still the top favorite for this race. I'm now 36, which gives me the hope that I still have 3-4 more years to give it another try. And I don't know what's going to happen on Saturday. For sure, I want to try my best, and I have to handle the result. About the killer instinct, without the killer instinct, I wouldn't finish third, second, and third. So, and as a professional athlete, of course, you're going for the win, but unfortunately, there's sometimes somebody out there who's just a little bit better. And talking about 2010, it was just, with Merca, I mean, I'm still proud to finish second. I was a little bit disappointed, to be honest, at the very end, because finish is so close behind the first. But you have to take all the good things out of every race, and looking forward to the next years, I still believe that I got the potential, that when everything comes together, that I'm still looking forward to have this perfect day here in Kona.
We'll go ahead and ping pong between the men and women. Let's move on to Miranda Carfrae, of course, was Chrissy Wellington's biggest threat a few years ago, and now with Chrissy obviously not racing this year, all eyes are on Rinny to see if she can snag her second Ironman World Championship, which will not be easy. Her season so far has had some highs and lows. She had a third-place finish at Ironman Melbourne earlier this year, but she had some DNFs at Ironman 70.3 Eagleman and the 70.3 World Championship just last month. Now, Rinny has had some success this year. She finished first at Ironman 70.3 Lake Stevens, a race which I was at, so I have footage of her crossing the finish line. You can see that on the swimbikerunvideos.com YouTube channel. So here's Rinny talking about what she's done to improve her chances of pulling off a second Ironman World Championship victory.
Yeah, I mean, this year, you know, the last couple of years have been, it's been sort of clear that the bike is where I could make up the most time, and Siri and I were working on it, but at the end, you know, I sort of decided to just look at a different philosophy. It was tough to walk away from a successful, very successful partnership, and not only partnership, but I feel awkward speaking in front of her, but super great friendship, and pretty much the other half of my team, so, but sort of, I just felt that, you know, I needed something else, and you know, with Siri, we had a fantastic run and a fantastic, I mean, memories that I'll never forget. But I, you know, I wanted to explore different philosophies and learn more about the sport. And so I spoke with Matt and asked him to sort of help me out with the bike this year, and we've made adjustments on, you know, my position. I think dialing in my position a little more, getting more aerodynamic, saving watts. I'm only 115 pounds, so I'm never going to push 300 watts or whatever the hell Carolyn Stephan rides out there, or Julie, for that matter. But, you know, just working on, you know, dialing in my position and also nailing key sessions. So we've started to work with power. I've never really worked too much with power in the past, so learning how to work with power a little bit and how to use that to your advantage in training, and also capturing power in races and being able to analyze that in training and hopefully improve the bike. But having said that, I mean, we've made a lot of changes in my cycling program, but I must say I'm still pretty much on Siri's swim and run program. I mean, it's been the best program, in my opinion, for me. And, you know, while she's not there every day, I can still hear her in my head. After 6 years of training with one person, you still sort of, you know her philosophy. I know how, for the most part, she thinks. I'm sure she's evolving as a coach and has different ideas for her new athletes, but yeah, I mean, I'm going into this race, I feel, with great preparation and hopefully improving that bike. That's sort of the key for me this year.
Up next is Smokin' Joe Gambles, who won his Ironman debut a few years back in Wisconsin. He is now dominating the 70.3 circuit here in North America and abroad. So how will he fare here in Kona? Here is Smokin' Joe.
Yeah, this year it's been a really good year for me over 70.3 distance. I've taken 3 wins, which is more than I've ever done in a season. I started my season with Melbourne, where I got 8th against some of the best guys going around, with Craig Alexander, going head-to-head with Cameron Brown, and breaking 8 hours and running 2:37 or whatever he did, which is a pretty crazy performance. But yeah, from last year, it's great to be back. And like, I went in last year, everyone thinks they can go top 10 in their first year, and a few do, but not many do. And I had lots of advice going into last year, but until you actually go out and compete, it doesn't really sink in. And that's what I took away from last year. I had a great swim, came out with the main group, rode as long as I could with the main contenders, and got off the bike in that second group, a few minutes down on Craig Alexander and Raylett. And then my run, I just had nothing left. So I just went back to the drawing board and started working on my run, and that's sort of become evident this year. I've dropped my run time over the 70.3 distance quite a bit, and I hope, yeah, come on Saturday that I get off the bike with fresher legs and I can actually run and mix it up and just feel like I'm part of that pointy end of the field and feel like I'm really in the race, whereas last year I got off the run and it was pretty much survival from mile one. So that's, yeah, and if I do that, I think top 10 is definitely in there.
From Smokin' Joe to Jessica Jacobs, who I saw win Ironman Florida last year. She also won Ironman Wisconsin, so she was a two-time Ironman winner in 2011. She is a former member of the military. In fact, her husband is on his fifth tour in Afghanistan right now. So here's Jessica talking about how she feels coming into Kona in 2012.
Well, I'm one of those pros that kind of became a pro in my 30s, so a little bit later than some of those that started in their 20s. I served for the United States Army for 6.5 years, so my background is the military. So, and it, actually my husband's currently serving in his fifth deployment to Afghanistan right now. So, anybody here in the military or have somebody or a veteran? Nobody?
Tim O'Donnell.
Raise your hand! Oh, yay! All right, we're awesome. This year, you know, with being a pro, having to get the points, I decided last year after the two Ironman wins, I was going to go and hit the higher points, and I went down under to New Zealand and Melbourne, got the points there, and that set me up to not have to worry about quote-unquote chasing points all summer long. So instead, my coach and I turned my season around and I really focused on half Ironmans throughout the summer to kind of get away from beating on my body too much, but also raising up the tempo. Mm-hmm. So that's helped me really be able to, you know, harness that speed without having to travel so much and having to do more and more Ironmans than what was needed. So I'm feeling a lot very fresh going into Kona.
Our next clip is with Timothy O'Donnell, also a former member of the military, the U.S. Navy, in fact. In this clip, which is a little bit shorter, he talks about his running form and what he's done to improve it over this season.
Yeah, you know, I really work on my, I've been working on my my glutes and just strength work in the gym, and that's really kind of given me more propulsion out of the back of my run. And I've always been a very, I guess, a strong runner, but not a pretty runner, high cadence. And now with a little extra distance in my stride, it's been helping a lot.
Next up is Paul Matthews, another professional from K-Swiss. This too will be a short clip, but he's talking about how his season has evolved this year over last year and his hopes for racing in Kona on Saturday.
Well, this year's been a little bit different for me. Last year, you know, I hit the 70.3s on Olympic distance really well and had a good year last year. And this year I decided I want to do Kona, so I did Melbourne at the start of the year. That was my first Ironman. Went all right, got enough points. So had enough points from Vegas and Phuket as well. So that sort of got me across the line. Since Melbourne, I haven't really done much. I haven't had as good a year as last year. And then towards July, I was starting to get better and better at Ironman. I got third behind GB and this guy. So slowly getting better, and then I've done a big training block, and I missed out a bit in Vegas, but hopefully I've come good here, so fingers crossed.
Our next soundbite is from one of my favorites, Leanda Cave from Great Britain, who had an amazing end to her 2011 season. She was third here in Kona last year, and then the following month she went to Ironman Arizona and broke 9 hours and won Ironman Arizona. I was there to see that. She was just ecstatic. It was great to see her do that. Behind her was Lindsay Corbin, who also broke 9 hours. And then it was Meredith Kessler, who was just after 9 hours in Tempe last year. Well, she's having a great year this year. Didn't really start off stellar, but she did win the Ironman 70.3 World Championship. And I would say that she is primed for another podium spot here on Saturday, if not the win. Of course, my race favorite is Caroline Steffen, but I don't see why Leanda can't move up a slot or two. She has some stiff competition. So here she is talking about her plans for Kona here in 2012.
This year has been a bit of organized chaos, I would say, in terms of training, racing, and everything. A few changes going on in my life, and also for the first time in a long time, I had an injury, came down with an illness, and there's just been a few things I've been juggling around, and finally found a good balance towards the middle of the year and was able to put my head down again and really start to refocus and you know, get myself physically and mentally back in the game. So that's really, you know, I can't say I expected a good result in Vegas, and as you and I imagine everybody else, they didn't either. But, you know, it's racing and giving it 100%, and that's what I do every time I do race. And it came good for me on the day. And just like Vegas, I'll be here doing exactly the same thing.
We're going to finish off our 8 interviews with Luke McKenzie. Luke is a constant threat to, if not win a race, to be on the podium at any Ironman or 70.3 he goes to. In this clip, he begins by talking about his change in coaches. He has moved over to Siri Lindley, who is a master coach, a longtime coach of Miranda Carfrae, but Miranda switched coaches this year. Siri is also coaching Leanna Cave and has a great track record of coaching champions. So it won't be long, in my opinion, for Luke McKenzie to finish where he wants to with the help of Siri. So here he is.
Yeah, the change to Siri was a bit of a no-brainer for me. You know, I'd been self-coached for several years and my progression here was coming along, you know, with 19th and 15th and then 9th last year. But I just wanted to take that extra step and my wife, Amanda, had been coached by Siri for a while and I could just see how she was with her athletes and the mindset that she gets them in and just the positive reinforcement and the motivation that that Siri has. You know, it's so infectious and it's a real pleasure to go to training every day, and I think that's something that, you know, I've been doing the sport since 1995, and so I needed that motivation now to get out there and keep punishing myself like this. And I found the joy back in the training, and Siri's really, you know, helped me get in a little bit more of a mindset that, you know, I can win this race. I've got the potential to do it, and one day, you know, I think I can do it. I've just really got to put all the blocks together, and that's what we've been working on all summer. And we haven't really raced this summer. We've just used it as a bit of more of a transition year of just building back to, you know, where I think I should have been, you know, at this point last year. And yeah, I'm just really looking forward to getting out there on Saturday. It's my favorite race. I love it here, and yeah, I can't wait.
And that will wrap up the K-Swiss round robin of questions to our professionals. That was Leanna Cave, Paul Matthews, Jessica Jacobs, Joe Gambles, Andreas Rehlert, Tim O'Donnell, Miranda Carfrae, and Luke McKenzie. And my thanks as well to Angela DeRazzo for sitting down with me at Lava Java. Great to meet you, Angela. And to learn more about her again, of course, go to angeladerazzo.com. Coming up here tomorrow from Kona, we'll be at the Pro Press Conference with all the main contenders for the race this weekend. I will record that in its entirety for you as well. Shoot for that posting to air on Friday, right here on the Endurance Hour. Again, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or corrections for me, please send me an email at endurancehour@gmail.com. Remember to like us, follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and please share us as well. If you haven't already, subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Smart Radio. It's free, and we appreciate the support. Until next time, this is Dave Erickson on this special edition of the Endurance Hour Podcast, Kona Week 2012. We'll see you next time.
Don't let me hear you say life's taking you nowhere.
Angel,
come on up, baby. Look at that sky, life's begun. Nights are warm and the days are young.